Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Stephen A. Coming at you, as I love to do every Wednesday night, over the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up, as always, is 866-96-POTUS. That's 866-967-6887. Feel free to call in. Let me get right to it. Senator Lisa Slotnick will be on the show with us a little bit later, Democratic Senator. She'll be on the show with us a little bit later. Obviously, for a lot of Democrats, this might be a decent day to talk, because they know they have a president in the White House that's nervous as hell. Donald Trump is quivering in his boots. He's nervous as hell. He slices any way he wants to. That's what this comes down to. Y'all heard the news. Y'all have been around. You've been paying attention. Right now, the president showed up on Capitol Hill today, okay? Wednesday, engaged in a fiery clash, reading for the Wall Street Journal. Engaged in a fiery clash over the Iran war with one of his top Republican critics just hours after the president blindsided lawmakers by insisting they pass a long-stalled voting security bill before he would sign legislation to lower the cost of housing. It was a lunch meeting with GOP senators. It was called to bring focus to the Save America Act, which Trump has deemed critical to winning the midterms. And obviously, he doesn't have the votes necessary in order to pull it off. He needs 60 in order to get it done. He's at 53 because not a damn Democrat is going to vote for it. And some Republicans are telling them it's dead on arrival. Why are we even focusing on this? Today, this afternoon, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, the 47th president of the United States, wrote on his Truth Social post, "Today's housing news conference and signing is hereby canceled until such time as we pass the desperately needed Save America Act, which I consider to be a national emergency. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President DJT." You're damn right he considers it a national emergency, because he considers anything that doesn't lead to him getting his way an emergency. And as a result, he's not going to get his way with this. The SAVE Act, understand what that's all about. You understand? You're requiring IDs and all of this other stuff that comes with it for migrants that are in this country, because the president is very, very nervous. His mentality is that if they don't get this act passed, the Republicans, the GOP, are going to lose the midterms. And if they lose the midterms, his power is going to be significantly diminished. And that's exactly what he doesn't want. I don't want to hear all of this stuff, this nonsense about impeachment and all of this. That's just wasting American taxpayer dollars. And it's a bunch of noise and it's much ado about nothing. If you couldn't get him when he was out the office and couldn't prevent him from becoming the 47th president of the United States after he was the 45th president of the United States, don't come to me with some damn impeachment stuff. I don't want to hear it. Just stop wasting American people's time with all of that. But what you can do is highlight how this housing bill that was passed in a bipartisan manner is something he's nixed, at least momentarily, because he's not getting what he wants. Remember, the Republicans hold a 53-47 majority in the Senate. They've got a majority in the House as well, even though they're worried about losing that. And right now, you've got Republicans that are against him. Remember, this housing bill that we're talking about, that's supposed to make it easy for home buyers, minimizing costs, making it easy to build homes, etc. A bill drafted by Democratic Senator out of Massachusetts, the one and only Elizabeth Warren. It was a bipartisan bill that was passed in the House, the housing bill, 85-5 majority. It's in the Senate that I'm talking about here. In the House, legislation was cleared Tuesday by a vote of 358-32. And the president comes in at the 11th hour and he says, nix all of that. I don't want to do this because of the SAVE Act. That's why he's doing this. We all know what this is about. The brother's nervous. The president's nervous because the Democrats are gaining traction every single day, it appears. And his mentality is going to be, excuse me, it's because they're going to have migrants voting for them. And I'll get into that for a second, which I can assure you, embrace you, that the Democrats ain't going to be pleased with what I have to say about that part. But sticking with Trump and his evident paranoia, the fact of the matter is he is in danger. The GOP is in danger of losing the House. The Democrats have gained momentum. But instead of the president looking at his Republican colleagues in the House and the Senate, he needs to look in the mirror. You got a war going on with Iran that was supposed to take 4 weeks. It's been over 4 months. You got tens of billions of dollars that have already been spent, if not hundreds. You're asking for $88 billion after you asked for $80 billion. What happened in the last week that you need $8 billion more dollars? More dollars. You got all of that going on. But affordability is still an issue in the United States. Rising costs is still an issue in the United States. Gas prices, oil prices, price of food, grocery, etc., inflation has hit home here in the United States. And it hasn't been addressed to people's satisfaction. Now, you're going to have people that come out there and they're going to support the president no matter what. Because if he passes gas, they'll say it's perfume. And we understand that. But to the average American spectator, looking at what's transpiring, maybe even devoid of all the facts, what's inescapable and undeniable is that this president hasn't focused nearly as much on issues going on in the United States of America compared to what he has been doing abroad. Look at that right there. The $88 billion request includes $67.1 billion for the Pentagon, $21 billion to rebuild stockpiles of missiles used in the conflict, $17.3 billion for operations, $1.7 billion for military readiness, $1.5 billion for fuel cost, and $11 billion for farm assistance. Somehow, some way, it wouldn't quite hit as hard. Somebody needs to tell the president. If you had $2 billion to give to TSA workers instead of letting them starve for a month working for free. But you didn't mind doing that. Wouldn't hit his home if you wasn't caught on the mic. Actually, not caught. You said it in the mic. You didn't care about inflation. You haven't thought about it. You weren't concerned about it as it pertained to the Iraq war. Iran, the war with Iran. I'm sorry. You said these things. You said these things. Meanwhile, affordability is an issue. It's undeniable. The Republicans themselves are asking him to address the economy. The housing bill is important to them as the midterm approaches because they need some level of evidence, some modicum of evidence that shows they're actually paying attention to what's going on in the lives of the American citizen out there who put them on Capitol Hill to look out for their interests, not your own. But the president hasn't done that. And not only has he not done that, there are other things that he has done that has caused incredible alarm. I'm going to read some research to you. According to reporting from major news organizations, including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, Reuters, and Associated Press, one of the most closely watched developments of Donald Trump's second term has been the significant increase in the value of Trump's family business holdings and investments. The administration embraced cryptocurrency in a way no previous White House had. Trump backed major pro-crypto policies, including the creation of a national Bitcoin reserve, while Trump family-linked crypto ventures expanded rapidly and attracted billions of dollars in investments. Investors tied to foreign governments, including the United Arab Emirates, poured hundreds of millions of dollars into Trump family crypto projects. These investments help drive the value of ventures connected to the president and his family, while ethics experts raised concerns about potential conflicts of interest. At the same time, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump continued expanding the Trump organization's international footprint through hotel licensing and development deals in the Middle East and elsewhere, generating substantial fees and revenue while their father occupied the White House. The family's business interest also expanded into defense technology. Trump family-backed investors entered the drone industry, supporting companies seeking Pentagon contracts and positioning themselves in one of the fastest-growing sectors of the defense economy. The administration also launched the so-called Gold Card Program, creating a fast-track immigration pathway for wealthy foreign investors. Supporters argued the initiative would attract capital and economic growth. Critics argued, however, it gave affluent applicants special access unavailable to ordinary immigrants. Forbes and other financial analysts have estimated that Donald Trump's personal fortune has grown substantially during his second term, driven largely by the rising value of his media, real estate, and cryptocurrency holdings. Analysts have estimated that the combined value of the Trump family's assets has reached many billions of dollars. According to Forbes, Donald Trump's net worth has increased by roughly $3 to $4 billion since he took office for a second term in January 2025. Supporters of the administration counter that the Trump family business activities were publicly disclosed, that many of the investments were made by private actors, and that no court or government investigation has concluded that any laws were broken. All of this occurred while many Americans continued struggling with the cost of living. Housing costs remained elevated. Grocery prices remained a major concern. Energy prices fluctuated throughout the period. Inflation and affordability consistently ranked among voters' top issues. You know what stood out to me? One of those last sentences I just read to you. Supporters of the administration counter that the Trump family's business activities were publicly disclosed, that many of the investments were made by private actors, and that no court or government investigation has concluded that any laws were broken. Who said anything about laws being broken? What they're saying is that that's where your focus lies. Proliferating your own wealth and that of your family and your cronies at the expense of the American people. That's what that's saying. We ain't getting into the law and playing that game that these Democrats playing. You listening to somebody neutral right here. I got news for y'all. I don't give a damn how much money Trump makes for himself or his family. As long as you're looking out for the American people. If the American people are becoming more affluent, if the American people are profiting, if the American people's lives are better, man, get your money. You were a businessman before you got into office. You're going to be a businessman if and when you're gone. And your sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, man, go ahead, make y'all money. As long as the American people are making it too. How in the hell have you made, if you're Donald Trump, nearly $4 billion, and your children have made hundreds of millions, if not billions, and your cronies have made billions, if not trillions, yeah, Mr. Elon Musk, but you could try to start a slush fund for $1.8 billion of taxpayer money to fund the insurrectionists on Capitol Hill from January 6th. You couldn't come out of pocket and pay that yourself? U.S. national debt added daily since October is at $5 billion a day. You couldn't add that your damn self? You couldn't figure out, along while making your billions, while your cronies are making their billions, and at least one making over a trillion, you couldn't find a way to say, here's $1.8 billion out of this pot. See, that's what we're talking about here. And this man is up on Capitol Hill right now trying to rile up the Republicans to show that they got some guts, that they got a spine to ward off the Democrats, because Zohran Mamdani in New York City, as the mayor, endorsed a couple of candidates. And those candidates won and knocked out Democratic incumbents, which is fomenting this belief that Mamdani and the Mamdanis in this country are growing before our very eyes. Trump is scared because he's got other fish to fry. He's got a bigger agenda, and it's going to elevate even more once the elections are over in 2026, because he can't do everything before then. He needs 2026 after November. He needs all of 2027 going into 2028 to finish getting done the things that he wants to get done. And so does his cronies. And so does his family. That's what he needs. And a midterm loss in the election doesn't help him. A matter of fact, it may hurt him significantly. It might derail his plans, because clearly he had a master plan, ladies and gentlemen. This ain't the Trump from 2016 to 2020. I keep telling y'all, the Democrats really, really messed up, because you pushed them out of office. It wasn't just about the American people voting to get him up out of there. It's how you exacerbated the situation to such a degree that you put him in a position where he had 4 years to plot and to plan to do what he's been doing now, which is enrich himself. The question is it going to be at the expense of the American people? Or shall I say how much? Because it's always at the expense of the American people. And in fairness to Trump, regardless of what administration is in the White House, it's always at the expense of the American people. But this is next level. I'll confess something to y'all. Clinton was a lawyer in Arkansas, grew up poor, relatively broke. How the hell him and the Clinton Foundation is worth hundreds of millions of dollars beats me. Barack Obama was a community organizer who became the president of the United States. And last time I checked, that salary ain't over $450,000, if I remember correctly. I got to double check that. How the hell you depart from office? You worth over $200 million? It's amazing to me how these politicians go into office and you're sworn to serve the American people. It's called service, but somehow, some way, they always depart exponentially richer than when they arrived. And how no matter how hard we try, we can't get rid of lobbyists on Capitol Hill because the lobbyists are the ones funneling money into their pockets. We were born at night, not last night. We know what the hell is going on. But having said all of that, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit up here and lament that Donald Trump and his family and cronies are making money. I'm upset that it don't seem like the American people are. I don't give a damn what money politicians slide into their own coffers from time to time. If the American people are prospering, get yours. It's a capitalistic society. Don't be a criminal about it, but get yours. If it's legal and legit and you have an opportunity to funnel some dollars into your pocket, I'm cool with it if the American people are prospering. But last time I checked, that's not the case. And because that's not the case, we're living in a different world right now. Donald Trump goes up on Capitol Hill, wants to push forth the Save America Act, you know, voter citizenship, proof of ID, all of this other stuff. Senator Susan Collins has been against him. Lisa Murkowski has been against him. Mitch McConnell has been against him. Tom Tillis has been against him. They joined Democrats in blocking, you know, that kind of legislation, knowing that you'll need 60 votes. And Donald Trump is nervous because he needs immigration because he knows he can live on that. Did you hear him at the rally? Did you hear him when he was talking to reporters? Did you hear him what he allegedly said to the senators at the lunch today? He said people are falling asleep when they bring up the housing bill. But when he brings up immigration and when he brings up the SAVE Act, they don't want to leave. They're standing up and roaring for him. He's riding on this. He's riding on this. Which is why I keep telling Democrats, don't be stupid. Don't play into his hands. Especially if you're the state of California. See, Mamdani in New York, say what you will, but they work in the streets and knocking on doors and got people voting for them. That's different than what's happening in California. In California, do you see some of the stuff that's going on? You got to remember that when you're Trump and you're the GOP, of course you believe that when it comes to the Democrats, the reason that progressives want the SAVE Act nixed and they don't want it in place is because they're planning on using those migrants as voters. You know why people on the right believe Trump when he says that the election was rigged? Because they don't believe that Biden legitimately got 11.8 million more votes than Barack Obama. Now, I believe it, you know, I don't believe they voted for him. I think they were voting against Trump. But they don't believe that. They believe there's no way in hell that Biden got 11.8 million more votes and that they believe the system was rigged. And then you go back to the archives and you look at certain things. California enacted two laws expanding access to state-issued identification for residents regarding regardless of immigration status. A 2013 law, AB 60, allows eligible residents who cannot prove lawful presence to obtain a California driver's license. And a 2022 law, AB 1766, extends eligibility for standard state identification cards, regardless of immigration status, with implementation scheduled for July of 2027. Both forms of identification are marked as not valid for federal purposes under real ID requirements and do not confer voter eligibility, employment authorization, or legal immigration status. But California pushes it anyway. That's why Trump is scared. Because when you have Mamdani in New York and he's beating the drum from a progressive standpoint in that regard, which, by the way, has Senator Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries in a world of trouble, by the way, because they ain't the progressive left. They're traditionalists from the Democratic side. They could be in some trouble now. And look at AOC and the Bernie Sanders continue to elevate in the mind's eye of the Democratic Party as time moves forward. You also have that going on, and while you have that going on, you've got the nearly 3,000 miles away on the West Coast in the state of California, a facilitation process being pushed forward with people trying to put in place to make it easier, if not flat out legal, for migrants to vote. Remember in LA, city council had to deal with some folks that spoke out. Because they were trying to facilitate folks who are not American citizens being able to have a say in local elections. This is what Trump and the GOP sees going on. It's why he's nervous. And that's why he showed up on Capitol Hill earlier today, going ballistic, getting into it with Senator Cassidy and others. Because he's saying, get up off your ass. Because the Democrats going to do whatever they can do to win and to compromise our power. What y'all going to do about it? Stop trying to play fair and all that. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He might even have a point. Here's the problem. His tendencies, the factual evidence, his proclivities prove that anything he opens his mouth about and others and utters is always for him first, not the American people. And it appears as if far more Americans than not are figuring that out. Which means, do you know how to step aside and watch Trump implode? Or do you engage in acts of stupidity out of arrogance or a hatred or such a hatred for him that your objectivity and your smoothness and just your strategic mindset and mentality goes out the window because you give in to your emotions? These next few months are going to be interesting. And I'm here for it. 866-96-POTUS is the number to call up. That's 866-967-6887. You're listening live to Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Don't go away.